Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we are going through the book of Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1 today. I'm not sure how far we will get, somewhere into chapter 2, I imagine. But anyway, if you have a Bible, you can open it up to Proverbs chapter 1, and I will be using the New King James Version. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. The book of Proverbs teaches us how to live. God has given us these Proverbs to warn us about the dangers of being ungodly and foolish. And so he says in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. That's what God wants for his children. God cares about us and therefore wants us to be able to discriminate between right and wrong. God wants us to be skillful at making good choices, moral choices. The book of Proverbs will help to give us that skill. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. In other words, God wants us to have high moral standards if we are his children. If a person is immoral or unfair, then they are not wise, and it doesn't matter how well educated they may be. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. God mentions the simple here, and he will mention that word several times throughout the book of Proverbs. A simple person is someone who is easily led astray. A simple person is inexperienced. The great thing about reading the book of Proverbs is that it will give an inexperienced person experience without having to gain that experience through mistakes. It's a shortcut to wisdom. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. No matter how discerning we are, there is always room for improvement. And so he says, a wise man will increase learning. The Word of God will help us to improve. The Word of God is infinite, so we can always learn from God. We can always improve. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And so by reading God's Word, we become more discriminating. I know discrimination has become a bad word in recent years, but God uses it in his word. Discrimination is not always bad. Discrimination on the basis of race is bad, but discrimination on the basis of right and wrong, as God defines those terms, is a good thing. It is commended in the Word of God. And so by reading God's word, we become more discriminating. In other words, we get it. When a godly person says something right, it clicks with us. We recognize that it's true. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We are not wise if we don't fear God. We are not wise if we don't respect God. And so we learn from this verse that the most basic element of wisdom, the most fundamental principle of wisdom, is to understand that God made everything, including us, and that He is greater than we are, and that we are accountable to Him. Because in essence, that's what it means to fear the Lord. He is greater than us. We are accountable to Him. And so he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. God says, if you do things your way instead of my way, then you are a fool. If we do things our way, when we know the Word of God clearly says just the opposite, God says we're fools. And if we get angry when God disciplines us for doing wrong, we're foolish as well. He doesn't do those things. He doesn't tell us what is right and what is wrong because He doesn't care about us. And He doesn't discipline us when we do something wrong because He doesn't care about us. He cares about us. That's why He does these things. That's why He tells us these things. 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. And of course, that assumes that mom and dad's instructions are in line with the Word of God. They come from the Word of God, or at the very least, they line up with God's Word. 9. For they will be great, they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck. So he's saying, if you listen to the godly instruction of your parents, then they will be like a graceful ornament on your head and a chain around your neck. And it doesn't mean a choke chain. Necklaces and garlands were used to make a person more attractive. And so what God is saying is this: when a young person learns from their godly parents, they will grow up to be an attractive person. It is a tragedy, a human tragedy, when children are not brought up in the fear and counsel of Almighty God. Because when they become young adults, they are like a ship in the middle of the ocean without a compass, no moral compass, no moral bearings, floating around from one thing to another, many times not even any knowledge of common decency, and they're not very attractive. But the Word of God will give you those things, a moral compass, and you will grow up to be an attractive person if you listen to the godly counsel of your parents. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And what God is saying is that don't let anyone talk you into doing something that you know is wrong. There are a lot of things that we don't know. And we are constantly learning, especially if we're in the Word of God regularly. We're constantly learning right and wrong, little nuances of morality and how they apply to life today. But if you just do not allow anyone to talk you into doing something that you know is wrong right now, man, that's one little piece of advice that can keep your life from being a big mess all by itself. That'll go a long way. Just don't do anything that you know is wrong. And don't let anybody talk you into it if you know deep down in your heart that it's wrong. Don't take the bait. And you'll spare yourself a lot of trouble. Verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have one purse. There are people who do not let any commandment from God stand in the way of them doing what they want to do. There are people like that. They couldn't care less about what God says. They are amoral and immoral. And when we recognize that someone is that way, we will do ourselves a big favor by staying away from them. Verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Don't play with them. Don't even get close to people like that. You don't need to hang around people like that, is what God is saying. You know, the only way to avoid the trouble that bad people get into is to avoid them. 16. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. God says a bird is wise enough to avoid a situation that it knows is a trap. And he's telling us to do the same thing. Look at verse 16. Actually, verse 18. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. They're not even as smart as a bird. Those who reject the word of God reject the warning signs of traps that are set against them. You know what they do? They destroy their own souls. They don't recognize the traps. They aren't as smart as a bird, is what God is saying. Because even a bird is smart enough to avoid traps. They know when something isn't quite right. They know when something looks suspicious. Don't call an impenitent sinner a bird brain. Don't call someone who completely ignores the word of God and does things their own way a bird brain. That's an insult to a bird. Verse 19. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. You see, the evil that people do to others eventually comes back to haunt them. Verse 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. In other words, God wants as many people as possible to hear his message, to hear the word of God. God wants his word proclaimed everywhere and at all times. He wants it to be shouted out in the streets, as it were. He wants people to hear so that they can apply and avoid trouble. I'm back in 1 minute. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. I've gotten to know a couple that recently moved into the area where I live. After so many years in the same place, the wife said, I really feel disconnected. Disconnect is such an uncomfortable word. It's right up there with disrupt, dismiss, and even destroy, all meaning some sort of severing. We feel especially saddened when relationships are disconnected, when we move away or when we lose a friend or loved one in death. But there's one safe place, The relationship between God and all his children will never be disconnected, disrupted, dismissed, or destroyed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, our connection and relationship with God need never be disconnected. So the next time you feel disconnected, thank God that he will always be connected to you. This is By the Way.
Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse. If you want to be a part of this ministry, if you enjoy the teaching of God's Word verse by verse, you can pray for our ministry here, that God would use it, that it would be a blessing to many, and that its influence would spread. You can also support us financially. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Thank you. Again, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? In other words, God is saying, how long are you going to be open to believe anything simply because it sounds good or feels good? Remember that country song from about 30 years ago? How can something that feels so good be wrong? Signed, the devil. Man, if that's not a satanic trap, I don't know what is. If it feels good, do it. It must be right. Yeah, sure. God says, how long are you going to be open to believing something that's something simply because it sounds or feels good? How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Last part of verse 22, for scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And so God is rebuking those who do not take his word seriously. When are you going to wake up and quit being such a fool, says God? You're going by your feelings? You're scorning the word of God because it's contrary to your feelings? God says that's so foolish. When are you going to wake up? You know, how many disasters have to hit you and your family before you realize that that's not the way to go? And those little disasters that hit as a result of us disobeying the word of God are God's warning shots that there's a bigger disaster on the scene, on the horizon, which we will enter into after we die, called hell. They're wake-up calls, you see. So God says, when are you going to quit being such a fool? 23, turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. God says, if you repent, I'll teach you about me. And then I'll give you insight into the way that you should go. Verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. And what a waste it is to reject God's word and forfeit all the good that he wants us to enjoy, not just in this life, but especially in eternity. What a waste to throw all that godly wisdom right out the window. He says, look at 24 and 25, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would not have none of my reproof. Now, I understand. No one, including myself, enjoys being told that they are wrong. What's the first thing that you do when somebody tells you that you're wrong? Right? Don't you get stiff-necked somewhat? I suppose depending on who tells you and how they tell you. And if somebody tells you in a gentle way, it's probably not so bad. But the tendency of sinful man has become stiff as a ramrod when somebody tells him that they're wrong about something. So nobody enjoys that, but God tells us anyway, because he cares about us. And because he cares about us, he is grieved when we do not accept his correction, because he knows what's coming down the road. And notice, verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. Calamity and terror. You want some trouble and misery? Raise your hand. Who wants calamity and terror? Well, reject the word of God. You'll have plenty. Sinners scoff at God's word, but when the dust clears, their lives will be the joke, a very pathetic joke and a very sad joke. 27, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, payday is coming for those who reject the counsel of God's word. God warns, sooner or later, terror and distress will hit those who reject the clear teaching of God's word. 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. You know, someday it's going to be too late. Now, it's easy to sit and listen to me talk here and give you warnings from God about turning from your wicked ways and from not rejecting the word of God and going with your feelings. It's easy to dismiss these things. And perhaps some are thinking, well, I've got plenty of time. I know that's right because it's in the Bible, and I've got plenty of time. I'm going to do it someday. But God says someday it's going to be too late. When the consequences of sin catch up to us, there's no way to get rid of them. Once they hit, it's too late. Ask the drunk whose liver is shot. Oh, he's repented. Maybe he's received Christ, but he didn't receive a new liver. The consequences caught up to him, and there's no getting away from it. So someday it's going to be too late. Once the consequences of sin begin, it's too late to get rid of them. And when one is burning in hell, it's too late to say, God, I think I'll repent now. No. God will say no. Too late. He says again in verse 28, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. There's an invitation out to everyone from God. If you want them, you can have them. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. But there's a limit to God's grace. There's a time limit. That's what he's warning about here. And then verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Some people do not want to learn what God says, and they do not want to do things God's way. People have a free will. They can choose to go that route if they want to. And so he says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. No respect and despising God. Those things should never be a part of anyone's attitude toward him. And for those who don't have room for God in their lives, well, look at verse 31. God says, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. In other words, God says, if you want to do things your way, That's up to you. But I'm telling you in advance that you're going to live with the horrible consequences of that choice. He continues in verse 32. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. You are free to make your choices. We all have a free will, and God will honor it. And so we are free to make our choices, whether to obey the word of God or disregard it or scorn it, whatever we want to do. That's our choice. But we are not free to choose the consequences of our choices. We get what we've got coming. You choose not to go with the word of God, you've got the freedom to do that. But you don't have the freedom to not choose the consequences of doing that. God is a God of justice. We exercise our free will, and then he rewards us accordingly. We receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our own free will. We receive forgiveness and eternal life and eternal heaven after we die. We reject the Lord Jesus Christ. We refuse to repent. Then the God of justice steps in and says, okay, here's your punishment. You scorn my forgiveness. You scorn my word. Then you scorn my mercy, and you scorn my son, and you scorn my forgiveness. Here's the penalty. Verse 33, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Everyone has trouble. But if we respect God, we will avoid the trouble that comes from sin. We won't avoid all trouble, but we will avoid that trouble. We won't have it here. And we won't have it in hell either. Questions, comments, my address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. My email address, verse by verse at live.com. That's verse by verse at live.com. Again, your questions, your comments, your prayer requests are always welcome. If you want to study the Word of God further, you can do that. You can study the entire Bible online for free using my audio Bible commentaries. And by the way, I'm working on written commentaries. Just about done with the Gospel of Matthew. So that's going to be online as well before too long, I hope. And following that, the entire New Testament, if God wills it, if he allows it, please be in prayer for these things. But if you want to study the Word of God further, you can at our Scripture Verse by Verse website, which can be found at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. If you're looking for a place to worship, you can join us Sunday mornings. We meet at 10 o'clock at Island Place, which is right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. That's 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. I'm with you every Sunday morning from 8 until 8:30 right here on 1230 WXCO. Until next week, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.
I invite you to listen to the radio worship service.